Welcome into another NBA Finals edition of Shark and the Dog. The Boston Celtics are down 3-2 in the series against the Golden State Warriors after being up 2-1, when a lot of people were really high on this team. And even after tying the series at 2-2, people were saying, don't lose hope. This team's going to win the next two. They're going to win that Game 6 at home in front of the Garden crowd to take the trophy home. Now they are fighting for their lives on Thursday night at home at the Garden, down 3-2. We're going to get into the collapse that was that Game 5, and what kind of carried over from Game 4, and if any of us have any hope going into this Game 6. I think the other three members of the podcast are pretty optimistic on this team. They got to show me something. We'll get into all of that. No Shark tonight on the show again, but I'm going to speak for him and say that he's predicting a win going into Game 6 at home. But first, out in the great state of California is Mr. Matthew Kovach. Matt, how are you?
Celtics in 7.
I like it. And in the Granite State is the dog father himself, Mr. Paul Murphy. Paul, how are you?
Very good, John. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Paul, I'll throw it to you. What do you have on that game before I ramble?
Well, when the best player in the world goes 0 for 9 from 3 points and you still lose by 10, there's a lot more on the plate than just a couple of shall we say, 18 turnovers. But, John, when a team is up 3-2, they win the series 73% of the time. So that gives the Celtics pretty much a 1-in-4 chance of being able to do that. But even before we talk about Game 7, we have to play better in Game 6. And I have to admit that I was completely off base because Derek White pitched a shutout. So he will do better. Steph Curry will do better. I hope White does better than Steph Curry.
He pitched a one-hitter. You got to give him that that 1-for-2 from the free throw line at least.
That's true. I was talking from the field, John.
Well said. Cove, what'd you have on that game?
And I think the prevailing theme for me was they just were tired. They were physically tired, emotionally tired, mentally exhausted. I mean, just the decision-making on the court, you know, the stuff that we've seen before. Bad ball handling in transition, poor decision making in the half court, you know, erratic threes, Jaylen Brown trying to dribble behind his back. So, yeah, a lot of tired decision making, but really, really weak legs in the fourth quarter going down the stretch. You saw, obviously, what Jimmy Butler did in that last series. I mean, he played wire-to-wire jobs routinely with, you know, little to no rest, and our guys just looked so tired. And obviously, I think, you know, beyond just tired and fatigued emotionally, there's just this team, the maturity gap is huge. And obviously, you know, people who've listened know that I'm, you know, no fan of the Warriors, but I mean, you certainly have to give credit where credit's due. But one team is just so much more mature, so much more grown up. They're not, their stars aren't missing critical free throws, you know, things of that nature. Guys are relatively keeping their composure. Just, you know, again, the maturity difference is huge. So,
Cove, I'll give you maturity on the Warriors. They have that in spades. They have the experience, the finals experience. They've got some of they've got one of the best players in NBA history on their team. So they have that in spades for sure. But in terms of being tired, outside of Al and Bob, how much do you give some of these 24, 25-year-olds of, oh, we're tired? I mean, that other team, I'm sure they are tired too. They seem to be fighting through just fine.
I mean, John, no, I mean, I can't take that away from you. I'm just saying what I saw. You know, I mean, it shouldn't be like that. Again, I mean, if you were going to say, you know, just kind of take an anonymous poll and said, hey, you know, one guy with a lot of mileage in his early 30s on bad ankles, is he going to be tired, or is a kid who's not, you know, old enough really to rent a car, you know, going to be tired, you know, after XYZ amount of playoff games in the finals, et cetera. You know, I don't think many guys would, you know, pick, or many gals for that matter either, would pick the guy in his early 30s, you know. So conceivably, Jason Tatum probably shouldn't be worn out, but I don't know. Maybe that gets down to an old man strength kind of thing. If we have any good listeners out there who, you know anything about coaching and physical conditioning, I'd love to hear it. Oh, wow, what a grab.
Paul, Jason Tatum, you got to give him credit for the way he started the game. We literally couldn't hit anything outside of him fumbling the ball on the first possession. we couldn't get anything going, and he hit some really tough in tough where he was being defended, hand in his face, hit some big deep twos to get things rolling, to get you 6 points there. And even though you lost the quarter by 11, it should have been much worse. It felt like we were down 20, and his points were massive there. He had 27 in the game, but his final 8 shots, 1 for 8 with 1 3, with a few air balls sprinkled in there. I think it was the transcendent Tatum game was there for the taking, and then those final 8 shots, he just needed 2 or 3 more of them, and he just couldn't get it going. How much of the blame do you put on Tatum in that game, and even in the series, if you want to go that far?
Well, to add on to Matt's point, it's like the great Al McGuire said, it's easy to get to the mountaintop, but to get over the other side is a big deal. And I think they expended all their energy, John. I mean, he shot well early. We can't afford 1 for 8 late. We just can't do that. And now we can talk tired, young, whatever it is, but I just, you know, they start fresh tomorrow. It's on their court. You would think they'd put up a monster effort to not lose the title on their court. So I think you'll see. I mean, Pritchard, they put him in. He's 0 for 3. We got to get something out of these other people. Grant Williams not getting it done. So, you know, they're going to have to chip away, John, because if Matt thinks they were tired in game 5, can you imagine what they'd be like in game 7?
I know. Grant Williams, 3 points, minus 18. Derek White, 1 point, minus 13. Peyton Pritchard, not only is he missing threes, he's missing threes that you need so bad. It's when Curry, they're putting him in when Curry is out, and it's when you're trying to make up ground, you know, cut a 10-point lead down, get that score closer to tied, and he's just clunking these threes. Mostly uncontested, and so he's been brutal in this series. And you bring up a good point about us getting nothing from Grant, getting nothing from Pritchard. Throw Derek White in there. 4 bench points for your team last night. That's terrible. We're not even going to count to whatever your Luke Kornets got or any guys like that. 4 points from your bench. You got to look on the other side. Jordan Poole had some amazing shots in that game, and so people are going to point to him and say his 3 at the end of the third was massive. It was built for TV, and then he just had some really good plays. He got you 14 really good points, and it's making people overlook the fact that Gary Payton the second got you 15 points and was a plus 16 in that game. He has been tough on this Celtics team, and so they're getting bench scoring, and even a guy like Looney got 2 points. He's still a, you know, whatever he was, a plus 16. He affects the game in other ways. Their bench was so much better than yours, and it was something that we really had going in some of these other series and maybe even at other times in this series, and we just need more than them. If we can get 10 more points out of our bench, that's a tie ball game. Maybe you're going to overtime. Cove, anything on our bench scoring?
I mean, you know, there's nothing to say about it because it was non-existent, and you know, you don't really need to know that much about basketball if you start breaking down the math. And you know, you told somebody that, you know, Steph Curry is one of the more prolific shooters in NBA history, if not the best, and look at his stat line, and you lost the game on the road because the bench disparity was just so overwhelming. And again, that's, you know, where we talked about you needed a superstar effort. I mean, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown certainly played like stars. You know, I mean, they played well enough to win, but obviously they didn't get any help from their bench. Steph Curry, you know, certainly didn't play well enough to win, kind of thing. And he got plenty of help. So it's a lot of bad math for the Celtics in game 5, but got to start looking ahead to game 6 and, you know, really, you know, how fresh are your legs? What's your approach going to be coming out? And where's the mindset of the team? I mean, really, where's the mindset of the team? And has this been kind of a watershed moment?
Paul, I was saying to Cove earlier that I think this team is capable of winning game 7. I just don't think they'll win game 6. I think they can win it. I think they should win it. I don't think they will win it. My predictions, games 3 and 4, I should have flip-flopped those. I said they were going to lose game three and win game four. It was the other way around. So technically on the split, I was right. I just had my order wrong. I'm hoping my order is wrong this time because I had them winning game five, losing game six. I'm hoping I'm backwards again this time, and you do have a shot at game seven. But what would be the approach that you would take to just get to that game seven, to do whatever it takes and throw stuff at the wall and hope it sticks? My theory that I gave to Matt earlier was Bob Williams played 30 minutes. He was a plus 11. No one's even close to that on your team in terms of plus minus for being in the game for that long. When he's on the court, he affects the game in such positive ways, even though you don't think it because of the way the overall score is. He's so important to this team. They need to play him more just to get into that game seven. What would be your approach just to get there?
John, normally they have Horford and Williams in together. I think you have to shorten Horford's minutes. I don't know why I'm on this Derek White wagon, but I am. I think it's defense. He's going to have to play more. He's going to have to. I'd even start him, I think. I'd have White, I'd have Horford on the bench, and he'd only be brought in for Williams. You know he's going to get in foul trouble tomorrow because he had such a great game yesterday. So, Matt, I can't feel bad for the basketball players. They get 2 days off in between games. Hockey players get one. What do you think's the tougher sport?
Oh, hey, I mean, guys, believe me, I'm no pro athlete sympathizer. I like to talk about when the Celtics play the Hawks in the finals, the St. Louis Hawks, and have to travel there by train and eat pancakes the whole way and play in Converse All-Stars. So I'm with you guys on that. I'm just saying, you know, that effort looks so immature, tired, not poised. And it was such a shame, too, because that was the end result, because, you know, you did look a little poised in the first half when you took a major shot, withstood it, hung around, came out great in the third quarter, and then just fell apart. You know, almost thought, you know, that the game had shifted and gotten cocky. And maybe at that point, that's when maybe they just simply ran out of gas.
Cove, do you think we abandoned the three? I got to go back and look at it. It didn't seem like we, for a team that was, we were 9-for-9. Or what, 8-for-8 from three to start the third quarter. When that came up on the screen, I didn't even believe what I was reading because of what we had just seen starting off the game 0-for-11 from three. You couldn't even fathom that a team that started off that bad was now putting on a performance like that. And then, you know, we miss one, Jalen hits one, we're 9-for-10 from three. I don't know what happened shot for shot after that, but I feel like if you're on a roll like that, why wouldn't you just kind of stick with it? And you're talking about this team being so tired. If you're so tired, just keep heaving them up until you miss five in a row. And I feel like we didn't even do that. And then we were just driving into the middle of the lane and coughing the ball up, turnovers going the other way. And that's when they were capitalizing. You were getting those dagger threes from Poole and Thompson, and it killed you. Of all the times where people are like, we got to get away from the three, that was the time when we should have hammered it. What was your thought there when we kind of went away from it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that that's, you know, just kind of like an immaturity thing. I mean, again, I think that the thought was the right idea. You know, if you're 22 years old and you got a girl coming over to your place or something like that, you're cooking dinner for her and you want to have a glass of wine to be classy, but you've never drank wine before and you start chugging it and slamming it like a beer, the thought is the right idea. Go get the lead and go to the basket. Don't rely on the three. Don't get caught up in Golden State's game. The thought is right. Have a nice bottle of wine for your girl. But to start slamming them like they're beers and you make a fool out of yourself and to start trying to slow the game down and drive to the basket and then have these wild plays where Jalen's dribbling behind his back, it just looks so sloppy and chaotic and immature. It's like, oh my God, you're like covering your eyes. They're just slamming glasses of wine. It looks bad. And, you know, Jason Tatum is like falling into the lane. You know, I mean, just doesn't look like what he did. Just totally undeveloped almost. Scary. So,
Paul, I got to go back and look at what happened with the Marcus technical. It seems like a miscommunication. Maybe I gotta listen to the audio a little bit more. But Marcus gets teed up. Udoka gets teed up. We obviously the flop on Poole. It just seemed like around that time of the Marcus technical, that was like a pivotal minute, 2 minutes of where it highlighted our lack of composure. Was that a moment where you were like, this is going south?
No question, John. I watch, it's all runs in life. But to get back to Matt's point, here's a solution for Matt. Just reach into your pocket, take out your wallet, and take her out to eat. That solves all the issues.
I hear you. I'm just saying, or going out to, you're right. And like what Paul's saying is the right idea. The right idea, again, is to get to the basket, draw fouls, get these guys in the bonus and stuff like that. Beat them at the free throw line, have them, maturely take over the game. Maturely take your girl out to dinner, but don't act like, you and your buddies are going to get wings and stuff like that. Tell them to put on the game or something.
All right, new analogy. Let's talk about Andrew Wiggins. 26 points, plus 21 in the game. Otherworldly performance. I mean, it's really great. His performance, you got to give him props, but how much of this is the magic of Andrew Wiggins and how much of it is us just letting him get those points and losing physicality, would you say, Paul? It didn't seem like there were times when he was splitting two massive players in the lane just because we were afraid to foul. I wish they would have fouled on a few of these rather than letting these guys just get these easy baskets. Go ahead, Paul.
John, it takes time. Originally, obviously, he was on Cleveland, and, they portrayed him as being soft, so they had to send him away, and they had to bring in Kevin Love. But, obviously, he's a mature player. He was the number one pick in the draft. He's got a ton of talent. They pay him $30 million a year, and I think that sometimes we just overlook these players that are excellent players, but they're not a marquee name. He got traded for D'Angelo Russell, so we think that he's a weak player. But he's a heck of a player. I have to give him more credit, too. I look at it, I see 26 points, 13 rebounds, all kinds of offensive rebounds. He's a real player. We just don't give him credit. I think that's one of the things when they said the Celtics had a better lineup or better matchups. Right now, I don't think they do. So I give him credit. He's one of their top players. And it doesn't surprise me that he did that. It really doesn't.
I like it. Obviously, we need the bench to play better in this next game. Grant Williams, that's a guy I'm looking at and saying, we're not asking for your 27 points in Game 7 against the Bucks, but we're asking for 10. And when these guys are out there and they're just – the lead is slipping away from them, guys like Grant and Al and Derek, they need to be thinking like we personally have been on the wrong side of these lopsided leads. We need to do whatever it takes to get this thing back to tied up just so we're not at a minus 25 on the series. I would be shaking in my boots if those guys, if I was those guys and I was on the court and another run was happening. So, I guess let's start talking about predictions for the next game, Cove. Like I said a few minutes ago, you can win, you should win. I don't think you will win. What do you got?
John, the Celtics will win game 6. I feel very confident about it. And
as confident as going 3-1 down the stretch here in the series?
Yeah, well, a few things ruined those plans. My immature friend spilled wine all over my couch and ruined the whole weekend. The point is that I do believe they're going to win game 6, and I think that they're going to win and they're going to play really well, and I think they're going to win kind of going away, we'll call it 115-102, a little bit of a similar prediction that I had, for the game the other night. But yeah, I think they went going away. I think they're going to play really well. And I think the reason is because this team is a very prideful group, for sure. And sometimes the worst feeling, I think, for a fan is when you're like, God, these guys just don't care. There were some dark days before John Henry bought the Red Sox where you're like, man, these guys like don't care. Like the Red Sox had like one of the worst turnouts for like post 9/11 voluntary workouts. You're like, wow, these guys hate being on the Red Sox. These guys love being on the Celtics, which is amazing. That's a whole nother episode to talk about this summer, why that's, kind of transcendent in our town. But this team has a lot of pride. They care. It means a lot to them. I think they're going to play well in front of their fans one more night.
I like it. Paul, before I throw it to you, I just want to throw in, if we win this game by 20, it's you're going to go out there and lose, because at some point Like I've been saying all series, you're going to need to win a close game. And I don't think winning by 20 in front of your home crowd gears you up to go win a close game in Golden State. You've had two opportunities there to win close games that you've coughed up. I thought you coughed up game two. You had a shot in that thing. Great performance in the fourth and in game one. You won that thing going away. But game two and game five were there for the taking, because you had leads in the fourth and you had a shot at a close game and you blew it. So if we win by 20 in front of the Garden crowd on a Thursday night, that doesn't change my opinion on them, you know, going in there and winning game seven. If they grind things out and win that game by four in front of their home crowd, it changes my entire outlook on what they can do to this Warriors team in game seven. Paul, what do you got for your prediction?
I hope I'm around when I hear the phrase, did you hear John Henry sold the Red Sox? Okay, John, if you go back, I keep hopping on this Golden State Cleveland, but if you go back to game five, I believe it was 2016 when they came back in 3-1, LeBron and Kyrie Irving scored 82 points. That was what was necessary to win game five, to send it to game six, and then they, you know, knocked him off in game seven. And you're talking like it's a doubleheader. It's not a doubleheader Thursday night. It's only one game, so whether you win by one, to me, it's how they play. It really is how they play. They're going to need help, number one, which they'll probably get because that's the way they want it. Everyone in the world will be wanting a game seven, so we have a good, solid chance for that. But they just have to play better, and it's going to take an effort like, Kyrie and LeBron did for the Celtics to go back to Golden State for game seven.
I like it, and I feel like if we're playing – like the pesky Celtics, it'll reignite the way I feel about this team, because I thought the Warriors were so comfortable at home in game five. Draymond looked more like himself. Poole seemed comfortable. They were getting in people's faces, and that's what we kind of need to do in this next game. I think I mentioned physicality earlier, Cove. It doesn't seem like we've been a physical team at all. It seems like we've been afraid to foul and afraid to get near guys. And so if we're playing physical and we're doing, you know, what Draymond was doing, getting in people's huddles at the end of the third quarter and stuff like that, and getting in people's faces, that will get under their skin. And we've gone so far away from that. I feel like getting back to our game and playing physical is going to be so important in this game. Go ahead, Cove.
John, I'm so sorry. That's just like getting like four good bottles of California Cab and taking them to your fraternity this weekend, or taking it there Thursday night for the Celtics game. I mean, they're going to be doing keg stands. I don't like that at all, because that takes them way out of their realm as far as maturity is concerned. Draymond Green, for whatever you may think of him, is a very smart guy. He went to Michigan State. He has a podcast. Colin Cowherd thought enough of him to add him to his podcast network. Draymond Green is very smart, very rich, and he's done a lot of big ads and things like that. So he's no fool. He knows what he's doing. Again, he knows how to enjoy a bottle of wine. These guys do not know how to play that game where they're just going to start agitating and stuff like that. Somebody like Marcus Smart, God bless him, will get kicked out of a game if he tries stunts like that. Draymond Green knows what he's doing. I mean, albeit he's one tech away from being done, but at the same time, he is a professional agitator. These guys are, again, you know, amateurs in a big man's world right now.
But, Cole, I am also talking about just, like, physicality. Not just antics.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's the majority.
Yeah,
100%. I'm not saying we have to get in people's huddles. I'm just saying we've gone so far away from that. We've looked like scared children in the last couple of games, one which was on your home court. I feel like a guy like Poole was taking a page out of Marcus Smart's book in the last game. I hated that flop, but he was doing other things that were very smart, like that it seems like we're so far away from that. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, Jason Tatum is certainly the key, and I know that sounds kind of like a novice take, but the way he's attacking the basket, it just looks, again, like somebody who's kind of feeling their way, almost like a new driver. He's a really good driver, but there's going to be situations, maybe when it gets a little snowy or something like that, where he, you know, doesn't know how to handle the wheel, you know, like, you know, one of us adults would. So the point is that he needs to be aggressive, smooth, strong with his hands and stuff like that. When you see Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron playing like that, driving to the basket consistently, their hands are big and strong. I'm not saying Jason Tatum's lacking for size or strength, but you need to be strong and under control when you're playing that big man's game down there. This is the NBA Finals. So absolutely, long answer, but yes, I agree with you. Get tough.
Paul, the two games we've won in this series, the turnovers have been 12. Anytime you're over 12, you lose the game. That's the way it's gone in the series. I think more important than the turnovers, the plus minus that you should be looking at in this next game is we'll put it at 1.5. If Tatum complains to the refs over 1.5 times at any point in the game, you've already lost the game. That's going to be my measurement, because his poise in this game 6, being able to measure it of him just going and getting his and not worrying about, did I get slapped on my arm? Should I be going to the line? Which he'd probably miss both anyways. That's going to be my measurement of success for this team, is how poised Tatum is. And if he's complaining to the refs, we've already lost. Go ahead, Paul.
John, to me, it's Grant Williams. I mean, you know, you want to worry about one turnover? He should be charging down the lane, looking to bury somebody. That, to me, he's our only physical player. You know, Williams and Horford, they're big, but they're not physical like Williams. I'd sacrifice one foul to send somebody guy into the nickel seats. He's not getting it done otherwise, so do something, right? We're not going to have a Kevin McHale, Kurt Rambis. They throw everybody out if that happened. But, I think strategically, Grant Williams can toughen up a little bit.
100%.
A couple of fouls here isn't going to end the world. It really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a way you can start to chip away at your minus 18 and affect the game in other ways. And if you hit two threes, even better. So is it safe to say that's your X factor in this game, Paul?
Yes, it is, John. I'm looking for somebody from the bench to do something, because you could get a guy out of the stands to get 1 point.
I like it. Going away from his Derek White pick. And going with Grant Williams here, that's a good pick. Cove, for my X factor, I am going with the one and only Al Horford. And what sticks out to me is that minus 19, because what we've been saying for years, it's been amazing in this postseason that there have been a couple of pivotal games, really important games, where Al shined and he was the best player on the court, and for his age is amazing, and that's why it's been such a story for those couple of games it's happened. But you can't expect that every night, and you'd be wrong too, because he's followed up some of them with 2-point performances. But the thing is like, he got 9 points the other night, he got some rebounds, but that minus 19 is when he's on the court, he's not affecting the game in positive ways. And that's been the thing over the years of Al as a Celtic, is even if he's going out there and getting 12 points and people are saying we should get more than 12 points out of Al Horford, there would be other people, other Al fans, saying he affects the game in positive ways. He wasn't doing that in the last game. And so that's why I've got him, as much as I want to say play Bob Williams 48 minutes, you get what you get out of Bob, just because of his health at this point. Al's got to step up, and he's got to have one of those Al games, not a 26 point 6-for-8 from three Al game, but a 13-12 type of game where and a positive plus minus from the guy. So I've got him as my X factor. Who you got, Cove?
I got Ime Udoka as my X factor, because he's going to have to rise to the occasion and really show, you know, just kind of like how Steve Kerr did on Friday night, that he knows how to, you know, really have all the right moves down the stretch. And I think the couple things. Number one, you got to keep Robert Williams fresh, because I think it's, you know, fun to talk about, yeah, let's just run him 48 minutes out there. Bottom line is, you know, the four wheels might fall off for this kid. I mean, who knows? I hope that he isn't, you know, permanently hurting himself, because if he was on a team that didn't make the playoffs, he'd long since have been, you know, at the Montage in Cabo, relaxing, rehabbing, you know, resting up for, you know, his career as a multimillionaire. But I think at some point you got to maybe rest him and try to dust off Daniel Tice, who can give you some of that shot blocking length. He can even stretch the court for you a little bit. We talked about this before, so maybe Ime just, you know, does that, you know, bring somebody like Tice out there, who, again, you know, Paul's looking for some physicality. Tice will, you know, go out there, he will earn each and every one of his fouls, And, you know, somebody like that could, you know, give you a real shot in the arm. So, yeah, Ime is, you know, certainly your X factor. And, again, if somebody can come in and give you that, you know, boost, and there's that, you know, something that kind of can galvanize the Jays, you're in good shape. And I think you can really win going away.
I like the Udoka pick. And where you need to focus on is, can that guy keep things from getting into double digits of these runaway leads? Because you're at home in game six, that other team has a title at their fingertips. And it's not like they shot the lights out in that last game. So I feel like the nerves will be going for the Warriors. You should come out swinging in that game. So Udoka's ability to make the right adjustments to keep things from getting out of hand and going down 16 in multiple quarters, basically both ends of the game, going down 16 in the first quarter and then regaining the lead and then going down 16 again in the fourth, that stuff's despicable. And I feel like he can play a key role in keeping that from happening and keeping everything under single digits. So I like that pick, Cove. Gentlemen, any concluding thoughts?
He'll be like funny listening.
Exactly. Paul, any concluding thoughts?
No, I think we, you know, we start fresh. I think we gave Jaylen Brown a little bit too much credit. I think he was 5 for 18, if I'm not mistaken. So
18 points minus 19. He was terrible. And he was, he had some big points at one point in the third quarter. He was a big part of getting things going there. And I loved his energy. And then he just went away from his game. And he was a really big part of the fumble crew. So he screwed us at times to start the game and to end the game.
These things are, you know, shall we say fixable, whether they're fixable tomorrow, who knows, but no, I think the energy is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a good game. I see the Celtics winning the game.
I like it. Cove, any concluding thoughts?
Yeah, John, I mean, this team, again, has a lot of pride, and I think you're going to see just a tremendous effort out there. One quick thing, our dear friend, Bruce Cassidy, is going to Sin City. He just got hired as the new coach of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And I mean, talk about not being out of a job long, going to a place where they have to win. And that, you know, and I think that he's going to be super successful out there right away. It has a Don Orsillo type feel to it.
I like it. Good for Bruce. And I really hope he thrives out there, because I would love to see the Bruins upper management with egg on their face with that one, because I think they made the wrong move. And we will see on that one. But my concluding thought, 31-4 bench scoring Golden State to you. If you cut that in half, you win that game by one the other night. So Paul is right. You got guys like Derek White, Grant Williams are going to be huge. Cove, I like all your takes, all your wine related takes this evening. But the bench is the key in this next game. As much as I want to say it's Al Horford and the stars, you got to lean on the bench here. So we hope that we're cramming some Game 7 preview episode in Friday night, Saturday night, and have to get a recording out. Otherwise, you probably won't hear from us till friggin' September, depending on how the Red Sox do. So this is big for this show. This is big for this team. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on, and go Celtics.
Very good time. Thank you.
See you guys. Jump!